This week, I have an exciting guest for you, Andy Storch, author of Own Your Career, Own Your Life. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 248 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. Just a reminder, this will be the last episode for the month of November, as we are taking a two-week break for the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday. This week, I am speaking with Andy Storch. Let me read you some of his bio. Andy Storch is an author, consultant, coach, speaker, and facilitator specializing in helping clients turn strategy into action and people doing the best work of their lives. Andy's purpose is to love and support his family and to impact the world by inspiring people to stop drifting, take control, and live life with intention. Andy is the host of two podcasts, including the Talent Development Hot Seat and the Andy Storch Show, and the co-founder and host of the Talent Development Think Tank Conference and Community. Andy is also the author of Own Your Career, Own Your Life, published in 2020. It's because of this book that I'm speaking with Andy today. We met when we were both speakers on a 4A Career Summit a few months back, and Andy gave me a copy of his book, Own Your Career, Own Your Life, and it really resonated with me. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This community where everyone is there to help everyone else figure out what they want to do in the second half of life and then make it happen. Let's hear what Cleo had to say about being part of the community.
I got a lot of support. Just the knowledge that you're not alone. Other people are struggling with the exact same thing, and there are ways to deal with it. There are people, you know, some really interesting success stories that, you know, maybe that's not exactly what I can or want to do, but it's, and you can see the benefits that people get from different things like that. A couple people that took that positive intelligence course, I could see a real difference in how they acted, felt, and their success after they completed it. And I didn't end up taking the course, but I got the book. I put it as an audiobook on my phone, so I would listen to it while I was at the gym. And I mean, it helped me too, just controlling anxiety, getting back to reality, keeping your mind in a good place. And then there are people that I can reach out to, like if I had something going on that I just felt like I needed to talk to somebody, there were people I could talk that were happy to talk to me. So it's been a positive thing.
I'm recruiting new members for the next group. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to my discussion with Andy Storch. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having my buddy Andy Storch on the podcast. He is the author of Own Your Career, Own Your Life. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Mark, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. You and I get to chat quite a bit these days, and I'm always enjoy our conversations and excited to dive in here today.
I met Andy through a career summit, three, four, 5 months ago. And I've read his book, and given the weird times we live in, I think, well, Andy, who did you write this book for?
Well, I wrote this book for anyone who feels a little bit stuck in their career, who is has kind of been drifting along, operating in reaction mode, waiting for other people to tell them what to do, you know, needs to take a little bit more ownership, a little bit more initiative to figure out where they want to go. If I want to get, you know, really specific, I was thinking mostly about my younger self, you know, people working in their 20s and early 30s who are still kind of trying to figure things out. I know your audience tends to be a little bit older than that. And I think that, you know, you've read the book. I think everything in there speaks to anyone who wants to take ownership of their career, but that's who I was having in mind. I think often when we're putting advice out there, it's easiest and best to start with ourselves. What did I need 5 years ago or 10 years ago that I wish I had? And that's what I put in the book.
The reason why it resonates is a lot of folks in my age demographic are now being thrown in the same position they were early in their career, right? They need to decide what they want to do when they grow up. And that's hard, particularly when you're in your 50s and 60s, that you suddenly go, I need to reinvent myself, or the world has kind of passed me by me, and I want to continue.
Yeah. And I think there's the other interesting thing is there's more opportunities than ever right now. Technology, while it may be scary to some, makes things, I think, evens the playing field more than ever before. And when you're willing to dive in and try things, you can go out for just about anything, you know, whether it's starting a business, going out for a new job, starting over in your career. And, you know, the world is our oyster, as they say, right? And it can be a little bit overwhelming and cause a lot of anxiety for people that like, oh my gosh, there's so many opportunities. I don't even know what to do, but there are a lot of opportunities out there.
So let's dig into your book. Your part one is own your career. What do you mean by that?
Well, as I said, you know, earlier, a lot of people have been drifting in their careers. I've been working in corporate consulting for more than a decade now, and I've had the pleasure of going all over the world, working with leaders, executives, and different companies, and leading workshops, teaching strategy, finance, leadership, that sort of stuff. And, you know, I learned a lot about what makes people successful. I also observed a lot of people really drifting in their careers. They seem successful, right? They've moved up through the ranks. They might be a vice president in their 50s. You know, it seems like they've done very well. But if you really have a conversation with them, they kind of just been, they've been told where to go for most of their career, right? Operating in the reaction mode. And a lot of people wake up one day and go, what the heck have I been doing? And this is all about helping people take real ownership, which means taking responsibility for what's going on in your career, whether you think that it was someone else that put you there or not, realizing that you have control of your time, where you go in your career, and that you have the power to sit down and set a vision for where you want to go in your career and make a plan, set some real goals, and take action towards achieving those goals. And it may not work out exactly as planned, but I think to the extent that you can set that real vision and goals, you feel a lot more in control. And that's what I'm a big advocate of.
Yeah. I had Michael Clinton, who wrote the book Roar, on the podcast. And there's a lot of synergy between what you're saying and what he's saying. And it's one of those things of very often folks in my age group, how did we get into our career? Well, sometimes it just happened. We were in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time, and it just happened, or we did what our parents told us to do, or chance.
Yep.
And it's time to go back and, you know, reevaluate, right? And that's where I got out of your own your career, is understand why you are where you are.
Yeah.
And then start make plans, take responsibility.
Yeah. And it's not too late. It's never too late, right? Whether you're 40, 50, 60, 70, it doesn't matter, right? What I think has been missing for a lot of people is very seldom do people take time to sit down and reflect on who I am, what am I doing? How did I get here? What do I like about my career? What do I not like about it? What would I like to be doing? You know, what's my quote unquote dream job? If I could wave a magic wand, what would I love to be doing in a few years? You know, and if you are, let's say, you know, in your age group, more senior, 50s, 60s, and you're thinking, I don't have as much working time left. Do I really want to keep doing the same thing that I'm doing? Or is it time to make a change and maybe do something different? And then write it down, you know, exactly what it is that you want to do and make a plan for getting there. Because another thing that I've learned throughout my own career and I've seen with others is that a goal without a plan is really just a wish, right? So we have all these things that are like, oh, I'd love to do that one day. And the classic story I always love to tell is when I was growing up, my dream was to be a baseball player, a professional baseball player. And I played a lot of baseball growing up, but I didn't have a real plan for how to get there. And I never got anywhere close, right? I had to give up that dream, or I gave up that dream at 15. And, that my career worked out fine. But it's a great example of there's not a real plan in place. So it's going to make it a lot harder to get there. But when you get specific with your goals and your plan, and you start working towards something, you have that clarity, makes it a lot easier to make decisions when opportunities come along, and to feel more fulfilled that you're working towards some type of goal.
I like that a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Yeah.
I'm stealing that.
I mean, you've been an expat for 3 years, right? Living in Mexico. I'm sure you've had many conversations with people that go, oh, I would love to do that, right? And they dream about it and they talk about it. But until they sit down and make a plan like you did, I've heard your story step by step, you know, how you plotted it out. It's never going to happen. No one's going to pick you up and move you to Mexico or give you that job. You've got to make a plan and start doing stuff.
Part two is take control of your future. How do you do that?
Well, you know, 2020 taught us all a lesson, right? We caught us all, not looking, unexpected. And we may not never see a big pandemic like that again. Who knows? But there are a lot of things that are changing all the time, unexpected things coming down the road. In fact, the pace of change today is faster than it has ever been before. And yet it is slower today than it will be in the future, which means things are getting faster. Things are changing. We're not going back to the way things were before, right? And jobs are changing as well. And if you've been working for 20, 30, 40 years, you've been around for a while, you can probably think of plenty of jobs that were around when you started your career that don't exist anymore, right? Because we don't need those. Technology made them irrelevant or whatever reason. And a lot of new jobs that are around that didn't exist. You know, the classic example is a social media manager. You know, we go back 10, 15 years, never would have even conceived of something like that. Even when Facebook was first coming out in the mid-2000s, you'd think, oh, that's like a fun thing for the kids to do. Now, you would not find any company in the world that doesn't have at least one person working in social media, if not a full team of people that are in charge of social media, right? It's a whole career path that you could be in. Same can be said for many different engineering tracks, software development, coding, things that didn't exist a few years ago that are really hot careers now. So things are changing all the time. So I think it's important for us, no matter how old we are, where we are in our career, to stay up on what's going on, the latest trends, right, in our industry, in the type of job that we want to get into. And so step one of preparing for the future is investing in continuous learning. And this can be done through various methods. You know, the classic is getting that degree, right, going back to school. But you don't have to do that anymore, right? You could be taking an online course, reading books, listening to podcasts, following people on LinkedIn and other social media channels. There's just lots of different things you can be doing. And what I'm advocating for is that we make it a regular habit to be engaging in learning, because the old days of graduating with your degree in X and then working in that field for 40 years, those are over, right? You know that after 10 or 20 years, if you don't keep learning about the newest things, you're going to be obsolete, right? So you've got to keep learning about different stuff so that you're ready when new things come. Example, something that I'm really into right now is cryptocurrency and non-fungible tokens. This seems like it's like this far off thing that only like the really tech hippie things that people are into, but I guarantee you it's going to absolutely be everywhere in the next 5 to 10 years. So it's worth looking into some of these things, you know, kind of finding out what's going on. The next thing you can be doing to prepare for the future is build your network, right? And I'm sure for your listeners that have been around, you can think of those opportunities you've gotten in your career that came to you so easily because you had a relationship, versus the times you applied for a job and you were one of 200 candidates and you never even got the call back, right? Every great job opportunity and business opportunity I've gotten in my career has come from relationships. And so I'm a big advocate of constantly being and networking and meeting new people and building and reinforcing relationships you have. And while it may seem a little bit more difficult in this kind of pandemic, post-pandemic world where a lot more people are remote, we're not in the office anymore, we're not out with people as much. I think it's possibly easier than it ever is before because you can reach out to anybody anytime on LinkedIn or Facebook or some other social media channel, make a connection and then get on Zoom, get on the phone, have a conversation. You can join a lot of online groups and communities that are, you know, focused on a certain niche, whether it's an industry niche or I'm sure you belong to some expat communities, right? And you can meet a lot of people and make new friends that way. You never know what that might lead to, whether it's a future job opportunity, a business opportunity, or anything. And then the third thing that you can do to help set yourself up for success in the future is building your personal and professional brand. Now, what is your personal brand? It's nothing more than your reputation, right? It's what people think about you and say about you when you're not in the room. And when you are going out for a new job or a promotion, guess what? Most likely you're not going to be in the room, right? So people are going to be talking about you. And the question is, do they have a favorable opinion of you or not? So how do you impact this personal brand? Well, first of all, I'm a big fan and advocate of authenticity. So I'm never advocating for people to try to be someone that they're not, right? But you can be intentional with how you show up and how you impact your brand. So how do you show up at work? What type of projects do you take on? How do you interact with people? Are you kind and curious and generous, or are you standoffish and grumpy, right? And you can also impact it with how you show up in the marketplace on social media, right? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you commenting on people's posts? Are you sharing content from time to time and being seen as an authority or a thought leader? There's a lot of things you can do to impact that brand. And I guarantee it's going to help you, whether it's getting that next job or some other opportunity that might come your way when people have a favorable opinion of you, which is essentially your brand or your reputation.
Quick interruption. If you are enjoying this podcast, please rate it and review it on whatever podcast player you are using. And more importantly, would you mind telling a friend? Thanks, and back to the podcast episode.
Yeah, let me take you down a slightly different path. One of the biggest challenges is that many who are my age group is our network has aged out. In other words, the people who pulled me along in my career are retired, out of power, or dead.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And just like here, Andy, I'm probably 20 years your senior.
Yeah, I think about that.
One of the key pieces is learn to network down.
Yeah.
And going back to Ashton Applewhite, who I had on the podcast a couple of years ago, talking about the fact that we tend to age segregate ourselves throughout our lives, right? We tend to, in school, we were around people our own age.
Yep.
And then as we get older, we tend to associate with people who are like us and our own age. And now is the time to start broadening out that network.
Absolutely.
And learning how to network down and out and broader, because folks who got you here are not the ones who are going to get you there.
Yeah. And your mentors or friends, right, can be of all ages. And let's be honest, right, for your age group, right, when you're in your 20s, almost anybody who has accomplished anything that you want to do is older than you, right? But once you get into your 40s, you know, the executives, they're all different ages, right? 40s, 50s, 60s, right? So when you're getting to 60s, you're going to have plenty of people who could be your boss at 45 or, you know, hire you or get you a job. The other thing is we can have mentors of all different ages, you know, who are younger than us, but are proficient in certain things or connected in certain areas that we want to be connected in. For instance, I'm 41. I have a good friend who is, I think she's 28 or 29. And she's also an author and a speaker and is crushing it with her books. And she's also got a huge following on TikTok, which is one social media channel I have not really gotten into yet. And I'd like to at some point. And she's going to be the one I go to ask for help and mentorship, right? She might be younger than me, but she's way better than me at certain things. And so I don't try to like sit here and go, well, my mentor has to be older than me. So I'm going to try to find somebody that's older. You know, you just want to find somebody who's doing great things and connect with them as well as connect with your peers so that you can talk about, hey, what are you working on? What are your goals? How can we support each other? And that's a great way to find accountability and support as we're trying to do new things.
We live in times where we need to broaden out who we network with. And who we take it, oh my gosh, I'm going to take advice from a 20 something.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, you should do that.
Yeah. We also got to stop making assumptions about people's ages as well, right? And I'm sure, you know, your audience will agree with me on that. But just because you know somebody in their 20s doesn't mean they know how to use social media, right? And just because you're in your 60s doesn't mean you can't or shouldn't be using social media, because you absolutely can, even if you didn't grow up with it. We can all learn these things and leverage them to help us in our business and our career. Obviously, you're doing it all the time, Mark.
Yep. So part three of your book is Own Your Life. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, going back to this idea of drifting and this idea of drift that I talk about, Stop Drifting, was originally coined by Napoleon Hill, who's famous for writing the book Think and Grow Rich, came out in, I think, 1937, and is still the most popular, I think, best-selling personal development book of all time. He also did some research, and that book was all about, he interviewed the most successful people at the time, like Dale Carnegie and Henry Ford, about what made them successful. He also interviewed a lot of people who were unsuccessful, asking them about their regrets and, you know, what they were missing out on in life. And he wrote another book called Outwitting the Devil in 1938, but he never published it. His wife made him promise never to publish it because she was too worried about what it would do to their reputation. It was too controversial. And it sat there unpublished for, I think, more than 70 years. Before it was finally published by his foundation in the early 2000s. And I'm glad it was, because it is a really eye-opening book that I definitely recommend. I also summarize it in my book as well. And in the book, Napoleon Hill has a fictional conversation, we assume is fictional conversation, with the devil. And the devil talks about how he controls people's minds when they are drifting. And drifting is when people are essentially not really being intentional with their life, not really thinking about what they're doing. They're doing things based on what, you know, they think society tells them to do. A lot of drinking, smoking, watching sports, you know, just kind of, there's so many examples, right? But really not being intentional with their time. And there's nothing wrong with doing some of those things, right? Everybody gets to live their life however they want. But the reason I bring this up a lot is because people say, well, I wish I could do something else in my career. I wish I could start a business. I wish I could get in better shape. But then you find out they're watching 3 hours of Netflix a day. And it's like, you know what? You've got more time than you think. You just might not be spending it in the right places. So it's about getting really intentional, not worrying about what your friends or other people are doing, but doing the things that you want to do, setting goals for you. And then the rest of owning your life is this idea of taking care of your health, taking care of your relationships, set goals in every area of your life. You know, your life is not about your career. I know, you know, Mark, for people in your age group, as you mentioned, a lot of people are probably realizing that, oh my gosh, I have spent much of my life devoted to my career, which is totally okay. I want to remind people that there are other aspects of your life. And then if you get intentional and take care of your health, take care of your relationships, you're going to have a better life, a longer life, most likely. You're going to be more productive, right? You're going to be happier. And so I'm a big advocate of that. And I also have a chapter about mindset being really important, especially when you're starting new things, right? You're trying new stuff. Maybe you're going out and starting a business, having a growth mindset, having an ownership mindset, which is getting out of a victim mentality, so that instead of thinking that everything happens to you, we believe that everything in life happens for us. And I truly believe that. And we, with that mindset, we're able to turn challenges into opportunities. And I've also got a chapter in there about dealing with comparison as well. Because with this, you know, the popularity of social media, it's easier than ever for us to look at what other people are doing and get really caught up in that comparison. Well, I see Mark is living this life and doing this and that. He's got a podcast, lives in Mexico. I could never do that. Well, first of all, you probably could. And second of all, you've got to live your life for you and let him live his life for him, right? And that's what it's all about. And when we collaborate, we root for each other's success. It's not easy to do, but we develop this mindset of abundance and ownership. I find that I'm a lot happier and more fulfilled, and I know other people are as well.
Yeah, there's one of the big things I find is this whole comparison, not comparing yourself to other people. And we've already seen here recently with several things in the news about people posting on social media, how wonderful they are and how happy they are. And well, yeah, they're really not.
Right.
Right.
You never know what's going on behind the scenes, right? I mean, they might be killing it in business, but their marriage is on the rocks and their kids don't like them. And I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah, I know for me, living down here in Mexico in the last 2 years, I've gone through some huge mindset shifts. I had belief systems around money and business and other things that just being pulled out of where I was and being dropped into someplace different.
Yeah.
Has allowed me to go, oh, I can do things differently. I don't have to do things the way I have always done them. And I've always worried about money. I don't worry about money anymore. Do I have more money? Yeah, maybe a little bit, but my reference to money has changed. Or my relationship, I should say, my relationship with money has changed. When you allow yourself to be thrown into situations or get into situations that allow you to reevaluate and look at things different, the mind, you can say, wow, I have all these beliefs. And beliefs are really powerful. And they're very often embedded very early in your career. I'll use the example. I've been all over the world. I grew up around New York City in the 1960s. Very dangerous place. I can go into any city of the world and feel comfortable, except New York City. I still have that little program planted in my brain from my mother. New York City's dangerous. New York City's dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, it was back then. It's not nearly what it was, right? So when you wrote this book, what did you, when someone finished the book, what do you want them to do?
What I want people to do is I want people to sit down and take a look at their career and their life, you know, have that reflection session, figure out what they're doing now and where they want to go, and start to get really intentional with that and realize, hey, I could be spending my time in different places. I could be working towards certain goals. I need to be doing a little bit more networking, being a little more intentional with building my brand. And that I can shift my mindset. I mean, really, if there's one thing I want people to come away with, it's that mindset shift to more of an ownership mindset, a growth mindset, where you really, you believe that you can go out and try anything, that you can get better at anything, and you take full responsibility for everything. You mentioned this mindset we grow up with. I think a lot of people grow up with a victim mentality and this idea that if something doesn't go my way, we complain about it, number one. And number two, if I blame somebody else, it's easier for me, right? How often do we blame other people for things that we could totally take responsibility for, right? Perfect example, I was just thinking about this morning and last night. I have two young kids and I walk them to school every morning and we are late almost every morning. And I could blame my kids because, you know, they drag their feet and they don't get dressed on time. But at the end of the day, it's really my responsibility to get my kids up and out the door and to school. And so every time I think that I start to blame them, hey, you guys need to get going faster, I turn it back on me because I know that in actuality, I'm the responsible one here. If I want to get them to school on time, I will get them to school on time. And it's the same thing for anything else. You know, when you're driving to a meeting or an appointment and there's a car accident on the road and it causes you to be 15 minutes late and you're grumbling going, I can't believe that happened on this day and blah, blah, blah. But what can we learn from that? Well, if you really cared about being on time, you could have left earlier, right? There's a lot of things that we could be doing if we take full responsibility and we also learn from every opportunity, then we can keep improving and getting better. And really, when you think about life and what is success, right? For me, success is happiness, being, you know, happy and content with my life. It's also knowing that I'm growing and improving, right? We don't have to be better than anyone else. There's no competition in life. There's no trophy when you get to the end, like, oh, you did better than Mark, right? Like there's no awards. It's about growth and your own improvement. Are you getting better every day, every week, every month? And when you're learning from those experiences, it doesn't matter if you make mistakes. Same thing I tell my kids, it's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from them and you're improving on a regular basis. It's all I care about. And I want more people to take that mindset and care about that too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a fellow career coach who's going to move to here and he's taking over my lease. And because we just bought a house.
Woohoo.
And he and his wife were doing things and they're going, no one's responding to us. Well, this is Mexico. What do you expect people to respond? And the other thing I was explaining to them is you have to adapt your communications to stuff that works. Well, I called them. Well, how well do they speak English? And this, it's the same thing dealing with multiple generations, adapting your communication style to who you're talking to. You know this, you've been you're a public speaker, right? You adapt your audience.
Absolutely. Right? I speak to audiences in Europe and Asia. I don't sit here and use American sports, metaphors a lot of people use, right? You got to know your audience.
Yeah, you got to know your audience. And similar here is looking at your life, looking at where you want to go, and then how do you adapt? And just because you've always done it a certain way, and you may not even realize you do things a certain way. I find this in communication styles. I find this in, right? And you go, no, you really need to do, you have to ask, do they really understand?
I was down in Mexico. I was down in Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed that every hotel, every place, everybody uses WhatsApp now for communication. So you get there. If you don't have WhatsApp, like, you got to get on WhatsApp because they're not going to use whatever you're using. Like, get on it.
Yeah. I mean, down here, almost every business, they publish their WhatsApp.
Right. I thought that was cool.
Right. Most small businesses don't have websites, but they have Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. So yes, you have to be on Facebook. And so things like when I want to communicate with the Trek store, bicycle store in Guadalajara, I communicate via text over WhatsApp and I use Google Translate to translate in Spanish.
Right.
Right. This is not rocket science.
Right.
But I have
got technology.
I have to adapt.
Yep.
So, Andy, this is great. If someone wanted to reach out and contact you, buy your book, how might they do that?
Yeah, well, we know from this interview that the one place you cannot go is TikTok. However, I'm pretty much everywhere else. The book is called Own Your Career, Own Your Life. It's available on Amazon, as well as from other booksellers as well. And if you want some bonus resources, I've got some bonus resources, including the 5 steps to owning your career, the top 5 most common career mistakes that people make, and the 3 questions to ask anytime you face a big challenge, which we didn't go into. You can get all of those for free by going to ownyourcareerownyourlife.com/bonus. ownyourcareerownyourlife.com/bonus. You can also find links for the book there. And I'm all over social media. I'm active on LinkedIn every day. I'm on Instagram. Just look me up, Andy Storch, A-N-D-Y-S-T-O-R-C-H. And thanks for having me on, Mark.
And we'll have all those links in the show notes. Andy, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy my conversations with you.
Andy is a great guy who is making waves, helping people take control of their careers. This is so critical as we come out of this interesting 2021 and enter 2022. I would encourage you to pick up his book. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You will get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com-248. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.